This morning we're going to take a look again, a little deeper look at the subject of hope. I hope you've been noting, either mentally or just writing it down, where God is making God's appeal to your heart today about hope. When we come to worship, we should expect things like that, that God is at work ministering to our spirits. There's a wonderful promise of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It talks about hope this way. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary beyond the curtain, where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf, and he has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. It's that hope that I'd like to take a look at. We sing about hope. O little town of Bethlehem, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. I remember the time where my uncle Cecil, became very closely identified with Santa Claus. We were visiting at my grandparents, and I was jazzed about the Santa Claus idea because everybody kept saying Santa Claus was going to show up. And my Uncle Cecil was an uncle that I kept my eye on because I dearly loved him. I thought he was one of the best guys around. And I noticed that he just disappeared. And I kept wondering, where in the world is Uncle Cecil? Santa Claus is going to show up, and he's gone. I wanted to make sure that he could see him. Well, then Santa Claus shows up, and I couldn't figure out how in the world this happened. Because really, Grandpa, he had this fireplace, you know, with the little lights behind it that just go like this, and it obviously was a decoration that came out during Christmas. So it was sitting there, and I knew Santa Claus couldn't get down that, or it just wasn't real enough for me. And so I posed this question to my cousins. Where's Uncle Cecil? He's going to miss Santa Claus. And that's when they enlightened me. And I remember feeling so ripped off. I just pouted probably for 45 minutes, you know, even though the gifts were being given out. I just struggled with this whole idea. My hope changed at that moment. And it is not unlike that, the way hope can change for you and me. We have disappointments. We have unrealized expectations. We have dreams that never saw the light of day. Our could happen have changed. Hope sometimes diminishes in social circumstances where we just feel like alone. Even in the middle of a group of people, we can feel alone. We can experience things like this that dash or make difficult our hope. I'd like to look first at how hope is a gift from our Creator. Secondly, and be thinking about this because I'll be asking you some questions, I'd like to look at the reality of it. And thank you, Fran, this morning for this, your faithfulness, your expression about this, about that imagery of the path and all that's in it is so real. how hope is sometimes snatched from our hearts. And then how it's rekindled through Christ. I'd like to look at that. And then how hope is cultivated. It can be rekindled and burn more brightly. It can be cultivated by you and me. Well, how hope is a gift from our Creator. I think we are beings that thrive in an atmosphere of hope. We're hope-oriented. What would make a child want to stand up and walk? There's the hope of being able to do it, like you see Big Brother or you see Big Sister or you see your parents moving around, and that looks like a lot of fun. What would make somebody get on a two-wheeled vehicle and try to ride a bicycle or a motorcycle? What would, because there's the hope of being able to accomplish that, being able to do that. Hope drives us in lots of different ways. It causes us to dare, to reach. It feeds us. Emily Dickinson wrote this about hope. There are times when she struggled with the subject as a poet. But I thought this was excellent. Hope is a thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. If you could imagine that, in you, there's this thing, you know, like the little bird that she writes about, that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. It can be like that. As I said, she struggled with thoughts, sometimes dark thoughts. But she also thought deeply about the gospel. I like these lines. The Savior that must have been a docile gentleman to come so far on so cold a day for little fellow men. The road to Bethlehem, since he and I were boys. The road to Bethlehem was leveled. But for that, my destination, 'twould be 100,000 miles. Hope birthed in our hearts makes a difference. You could tell that life without hope for her would be difficult. Hope is a gift from our Creator that can be nurtured. It isn't a songbird to be shushed with thoughts about being realistic. Let it sing. Let it sing. Sometimes we choose to hush it. Let it sing. How hope is snatched from our hearts. How is it that hope sometimes is snatched from our hearts? Here, I'd like to hear from you. How does I am certain there's a lot of wisdom in this room. And I'm going to talk about some ways myself that hope is snatched from our hearts, but I'd love to hear from you.
Well, of most of you know what I've been through in recent years. And so to feel the pain of hope snatched from your heart, an example of that would be to have plans, see your future with a certain person the rest of your life, going a certain direction, and suddenly that's interrupted and that rug is pulled out from under you. And then you see those rocks that Fran spoke about between you and the end of that road that you think you're going on. And about a month or so ago, I took one of these bulletins while we were sitting here and I wrote some notes and I spoke about hope. And I wrote that hope is still seeing the place you want to get to, but having the courage to walk the path that takes you there. And so I have that taped up on my bathroom mirror. It's painful to, for a period of time, to feel your hope has been snatched away. But I can tell you it's very rewarding to keep fighting for it and to keep trying to hang on to it, no matter how painful it is. And I'm grateful that I didn't give up entirely.
I've had hope snatched from me just through one emotion, and it's fear. Fear can overwhelm you, and like Bonnie said, it takes courage to look past the fear and see hope again. But fear gets in the way of a lot of things, and hope's one of them.
Those are very real expressions, and as people of faith, we should be able to look at this part, that we struggle at times with hope, and that at times there are things that come and bump us and buffet us and make it difficult to have bright hope. And unfortunately, for some of us, we get stuck. I loved hearing about your journey and how you're trying to keep bright hope bright, taking the diligence to post something to keep you on target. We need to be self-directed in those ways. Unfortunately, for some of us, we lose that childlike hope, that curiosity about what, with God's help, we could do. That's so important. What, with God's help, we could do or be. Like someone wrote, said, cynicism, which is really where we go after so much hope deteriorates. Cynicism is a cancer of the spirit. The bad cells of sarcasm attack the good cells of hope, and if undiagnosed, will destroy them. And there is a bit of cynic in us all. We can not only affect our own hope by wallowing in our cynicism, we can affect the hope of people around us. Across the fields of yesterday, he comes to me, a little lad, just back from play, the boy I used to be. He smiles at me so wistfully when once he's crept within. It's as though he'd hoped to see the man I could have been. If cynicism is allowed to actually take root, We become different people. We really do. We become different people. Sometimes another thing that may snatch hope from our hearts are life sciences. Young people and those who are aging well. Young people, there's a lot of that goes on about science, pitting our science against our faith, as if our hunches and some of our discoveries must be at odds with our faith. We don't know exactly how sometimes to fit everything together as people of faith, as Christians. We don't know how all this is going to be put into a great harmony of understanding, except hoping that in eternity God shows us the answers to a lot of our questions. It does not follow that our hunches and our hints offered to us as science from the world of science are antithetical to faith. It's frankly what you're going to do with your information in front of you, how you're going to use it. And some people don't use it well. Some people use it against faith. So let me just encourage you to not be talked out of your hope by life sciences, life's scourgings. That is another thing that sometimes affects our faith. One dear friend talked about her experience of life with a question. She asked, "And have you been gutted yet by life?" And I thought, oh, you understand. You understand exactly the human experience. When life reaches in and pulls out everything you seem to have, hope can still sing in your heart. But it's difficult going through those things. How hope is rekindled? How hope is rekindled through Christ? Let's look back at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. We have this hope as an anchor of the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. An anchor of the soul. Remember one time trying to learn a kind of sailboarding. My brother-in-law had a sailboard that you could stand up on. You didn't have to wait for wind to actually float you out of the water, but you could stand up on. It was a huge thing, and he showed me a little bit about how to adjust it and how to tack and things of that nature, and I finally got the thing moving, and then I didn't know how to get things stopped. The wind kept taking me out further and further and further, and I tried his way of turning the thing around, and usually it'd pitch me off in the water. I'd crawl back on the board, and I'd start again, and then out further. I'd go and go and go and go, and I really did want an anchor. I wanted somehow to stop where I was going. And when life comes to snatch hope, carry us out beyond where it's good for us to be. Jesus Christ is our anchor. I love this. The anchor of our soul. Firm and secure. This hope is literally able, the text suggests, to go into the presence of God where Jesus is already there pleading our case to God. He's already there with all your heart's concerns. He's there pleading your case. And you can join him through this gift of hope in the inner sanctuary with God, where he can speak comfort to you. We are given an anchor of the soul as a gift from Christ through all of life. This is an anchor of the soul, not just for a moment, but for the whole of life. We are meant to become people of hope, hope that has a steadying influence on all that we do and are. Albert Stotterman wrote, "If I live long enough, I'd write a book on trials, because without them, a person can know neither scripture nor faith, nor can he fear and love God. If he's never suffered, he cannot understand what hope is." Up until that point, and again, Fran, where you talked about change, hope is there in change. It's not there when it's static, when life is static. And you know what we love, what we treasure. We treasure static. We treasure sameness. But hope is birthed in this crucible where things are difficult. Hope is fed in moments like that. You could summarize what this man said by saying, up until that point, everything we've learned is armchair theory. It's theory. We sit back in our chairs and theorize about things. But it's in these circumstances that our faith becomes real. And through it, we're given access to the one who has gone before us into the presence of God. How hope is cultivated. Here's where I'd like to, again, first give you the first word. How is hope cultivated? How have you found hope nourished and beget in your life?
I have found cultivated by sharing with a friend what's going on in my life and being able to. Is it? There it is. Just being able to talk to someone and have them understand and have them genuinely listen and care definitely makes the whatever it is that I'm experiencing, at least for the moment, not seem quite so big.
One of the biggest things that helped me with my hope was to cultivate an attitude of gratitude. When everything was dark and gloomy and my face was in the dirt, so to speak, I found that I was still able to be grateful for the things in my life that were good, and I was able to find some. There weren't a lot, but I was able to find some. And in looking for the good things in life, I found hope that there would be more good things on the horizon.
I've noticed that a good way to cultivate hope is to keep fellowshipping with the hopeful, because when I started actually building hope in a hard situation, it was pretty easy to go back and cope with the hopeless, because that was familiar. But it's a lot better to cultivate and build your hope when you're doing it with other people that actually have hope as well.
Hope is an interesting thing. It causes faith to act. It propels us out of our chair, in a way, and causes faith to act. We can exercise hope. We can, as 1 John talks about, it says, "Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, Christ, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So we stay on the path. That's part of hopefulness. Staying on the path. Practice living as people of hope. We begin to prioritize our values so that the center of our affections is Christ. In 1 Peter 3:15 and 16 it says this, "But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Keep him front and center." We speak about our hope to others as well, like Ben said. We let hope inform our futures rather than our fears. Fear stymies us. They keep us stuck in the status quo. Sometimes we have to let go of things in the past in order to enjoy the present and to be able to dream of a great future. We allow our hope to transform our present. One person talked about Christmas this way, David Bauman. He said when one Christmas showed up, he said he'd been hoping, been thinking a lot about the thing that he wanted most. And as a young person just getting into junior high, he actually wanted a set of golf clubs. He wanted to learn how to golf. Well, he snuck upstairs where things were all packaged up, and it was unmistakable that this lumpy kind of package that was there was a set of golf clubs. He found himself going back up there time after time after time to look at it, to feel it, to crinkle the paper, to hug it. He said as he did that, every time he'd go up there to see the gift, he could imagine himself there on the golf course playing. He knew this was in his future because of the gift that was there. And in a way, this is so much like living here in this life. We have hints at what's to come. We look in God's word and we see promises made to us. We know it's in the package. We have it in part, but we will have it in full on that day when we see him face to face. This keeps hope bright for us. I'd like for you to just reflect quickly about the ways in which Christ gives you hope. This could be this week an Advent reflection. Ways in which Christ gives you hope. I'd encourage you to try to maybe write down five different ways that Christ gives you hope. He is our hope. He's an anchor of the soul, Hebrews tells us. So think about that. And then I'd like to encourage you to act on that. Remember I said hope propels us out of our chair. Share one of your hopes with somebody. Family member, somebody at work, a neighbor. Share one of your hopes in Christ with somebody. And if you really want to get out of your chair and walk to the front door, share it with somebody that you don't know. See if there's an opportunity that God gives you to share your hope with somebody that you don't know. Because just like here, there are times when God taps you on the shoulder and what you say, I need. And it may be true out there as well, that what you have in your heart may be just what somebody else needs to hear. Some of the things that hope speaks to me about is that God, even though there's a lot wrong in this world, God is ultimately here and marshaling our history and our future toward a bright and glorious eternity. What we see all around us is not the whole story. It's just not. Some of the things that keep hope bright in me is that God loves me individually in the middle of my problems, not just in spite of what's me or in what's going on in my life. Another thought about my hope in Christ is that no matter what I'm facing or where I am, I can never be lost to his love. I can never be lost to his love. And having lived for him these many years, I can say that he has been with me come what may. He's been faithful to me.